Today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, in Pew Bibles, page 980. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly hopeless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Thank you, Leather. Don't want to step on those and slip. During arms control talks a long time ago, Leonid Brezhnev startled President Jimmy Carter in those talks by getting up at one point and walking around the table. And he placed his hand on Carter's shoulder and said in perfect English, "Jimmy, if we do not succeed, God will not forgive us." That was a shock for President Carter, and years later he reflected upon that and said that he was absolutely surprised, but he was also encouraged that in the middle of arms talks between these two superpowers, God came into play. In the middle of the chaos and the suffering that was around, God was mentioned by this leader as one who was the only one that could help them bring about peace. And as they did not truly seek that peace, there would be more difficulties. Which one of us does not hope for peace? And yet as we look all around us in our world, in our neighborhoods, perhaps even within our own families, many times we have difficulty truly finding that peace. Many times we find folks losing hope that it can't happen. Well, the letter to the Romans is filled with all kinds of deep theological thoughts. And among those, peace and seeking peace happens to be one of the most important. In this letter, we find a maturing of Paul's faith. It's not his first letter. As we've said before, the letters of Paul are not arranged chronologically. They're from the longest to the shortest, with 1 Thessalonians actually being the first one written. But here in this one, some years later, Paul has been maturing in his faith, has been reflecting, has been praying, and now he writes to the church at Rome, a church that he had not ever visited. And he writes them about deep theological things. He also challenges the recipients to seek to understand the fullness and the richness of experience with Christ. If you were to go to chapter 1 of the letter to the Romans, and once again, this is in part because Paul had never been to that church, but he was wanting to set up right from the get-go, right from the beginning, the basics of Christian theology and doctrine. If you go to chapter 1, you find that he begins the letter with a concise statement of Christian theology. In fact, it's the longest opening section in any of Paul's letters. And he follows that with a need for redemption, reminding folks that this theology is not just for the sake of words, but it's for the sake of redemption. After that, he begins discussing the nature of God's saving act in Christ and the new life and benefits that come, which then brings us to our passage for today and God's promise of peace. At the end of chapter 4, Paul ends by speaking of the freedom we receive through Christ's justification, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. So when chapter 5 opens, he mentions justification again. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, he then speaks also of the many consequences of that justification, the benefits that we have, benefits that we ourselves did not accomplish, but that we receive through Christ's act. And the first of those that he mentions is peace. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of the benefits given, all of the benefits that are received by any Christian from God are due to a relationship with God, and in particular, a relationship with God in and through Jesus, who is the Christ. The benefit of our justification, our salvation, all of those benefits center in the joy we have in the peace with God and the world around us. In fact, he uses the word rejoice in verses 2, 3, and 11 in very foundational ways. Through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast and rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. We find here, as Paul begins to talk, he says, before we were justified in faith, we were in strained relationships with God. And sometimes we even fall back into strained relationships. But the joy and the rejoicing that comes from this when we recognize those relationships and we make them right, or rather we are made right with God and we accept that, leads us to three major things. Peace with God, access to His grace, and hope of sharing in His glory. Now, that sharing in the glory, though, is not so that we are glorified, but rather we share and we experience the glory that God has and that God brings to us. So we were in strained relationships. When you have a strained relationship with someone, how do you feel in your heart? Do you find peace? Generally, we find ourselves not peaceful or peace-filled, but we find ourselves hurting. We find ourselves worrying. We find ourselves just out of sorts when we do not have that good relationship. But the new relationship that we can have with God in Christ, first of all, brings us peace. And this peace is something that is not just, well, I'm going to be peaceful and stay out of your way. It's a peace that begins inside and then moves outwardly. And this peace and this new relationship that we have with God gives us hope to transcend our worst sins, hope to transcend our worst selves in life. And so with this relationship, first of all and foundationally, we find inner peace, which transforms us and allows us not only to experience God's peace, but then to share that peace in reconciliation. Notice, Paul will never say that God is reconciled to the world, that God is reconciled to us. But it's always that we are brought back into proper relationship with God. We are reconciled with God, no matter how many times we turn our backs. When we come and we look full face in God, we become reconciled, a state of harmony with God, if we truly seek His face. This peace affords us many other benefits, as Paul speaks here. And one of the greatest is access to God's grace. Wait a minute, I thought God's grace was automatic. No. God offers it, but we have to accept it. We have to gain access to God. The word here in the Greek text that is used for access is only used in two other places in the entire New Testament. And both of those are in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 18, and chapter 3, verse 12. And both of those times, that access applies to Christ. But here, it applies to our having access to God. That access through the action of Christ. This word is used in other places. It's used in secular Greek to speak of being introduced into the presence of an exalted person. That is, someone introduces us to royalty, to a king, to a governor. Something that we cannot do ourselves. You know, when you are introduced, if we were to go over to England and had an audience with the Queen, Ed, we just couldn't walk in and speak to the Queen, could we? Nah, I think probably some of the guards at Buckingham Palace would stop us. We would have to be introduced by someone who had full access to the Queen and who would bring us before the Queen. This is the same thing here. We have someone, however, who can introduce us into God's presence, and that is Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to His grace. Jesus introduces us into God's presence. God Himself says that what we need to do is to open our hearts and minds to God, and we have access to His grace because of Jesus. And because we open our hearts and our minds, and this isn't just the one time you walk down an aisle and you get poured, dunked, or sprinkled. We need that grace when? That's right, all the time. We have access to God daily. However, it is our responsibility to come into His presence and receive that grace. The relationship of peace with God not only gives us access to God's grace, but it can and should inspire hope. We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Even though we fall short, we have the hope of sharing in God's glory. We have the hope given through the peace of a relationship with God that we can receive all that His glory entails. That's great news. Peace. Access. Hope. Boy, my life's going to change now. Well, I hope so. But this doesn't mean that there will not be suffering or difficulties. If we stop there, people would think, oh, that's really great news. And far too often, that's where people stop. And they think once they've come into God's presence, they've accepted Jesus, they've joined the church, everything's going to be great. Well, guess what? When you wake up the next morning, you still got the same aches and pains. You may still have the same problems you were dealing with the day before. But the hope is in that relationship with God that leads us, even in the chaos, to have peace. Kind of like the river rushing along or the stream rushing along. Where do people, sometimes you catch the trout out in the stream, but most of the time you catch that trout when it moves over into the little pool of calmness That doesn't keep the streams from rushing by around, but there's that place where it's resting in a pool of calmness. Jesus says, and Paul says here, there's still going to be suffering. There's still going to be chaos. There's still going to be that rushing of the stream, but we have hope because of access to God's grace, because of the peace we have in relationship with God, that even there, He is with us. In fact, peace, really, if you think about it, peace can only be understood in reference to suffering or to difficulties, can it not? How do we know what peace is if there's not something on the opposite end of the spectrum? Wait a minute. I thought when I accepted Christ, everything would be great. And I hear that often. All would be fixed and life would be easy. But Paul speaks confidently here. Suffering and chaos still comes. And will continue to come as long as we're alive because we live in a fallen world. But Paul also speaks confidently that life does change because Christ is walking with us through the sufferings, through the trials, through the temptations. In the model prayer, Jesus ends that prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's not a prayer that God will keep us from ever having any trial. That's not realistic in this world. But it's a prayer that God will show us the path by which we are to be delivered, to get through the trials and the temptations, and that God will be with us in relationship even during that time. And so Paul here continues to speak of the realities of life, living in a fallen world, but also God's promised presence and peace with faithful followers. The word for suffering here literally means pressure. Pressure. But then again, difficulties bring us pressure, do they not? Not only that, but we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. All those pressures, the pressure to succeed, the pressure in competition, the pressure to provide, the pressure to get up sometimes. Get out of the bed and get moving. It means pressure, and it reminds us that the pressures of living weigh heavily upon us, do they not? But Paul understands that when suffering comes, our access to God's grace and peace can help us to endure. The word here for endurance literally means to stand or stay firm under. Under the heaviness of sufferings, under the heaviness of pressure, under the heaviness of uncertainties in life. As Henry Green writes, we can develop the capacity for staying power, end of quote, in the sufferings when we have God's peace and God's relationship. Enduring the suffering that comes produces character. Now, some of us are characters anyway, but it produces a different kind of character. The word here carries the understanding of metal, which has been purified by fire, standing strong. Endurance of burden sometimes helps to release the impurities in our lives, helps to remove the failings that we have that hinder healthy and loving and grace-filled relationships, first and foremost with God, and then with others. When we endure in this fashion, we become approved before God. The enduring character gives even more hope. Hope in God and hope through God in Christ, which leads us towards spiritual maturity and completing that cycle with peace. A cycle that begins with peace and ends with peace. At this point, Paul goes on to explain why we do not have to wish for or guess about hope. He states we can live confidently because of the assurance of God's love. We can grow our faith within this love. In verses 6 through 8, Paul reminds us of the extent of how much God loves. We were weak in our humanity. we have limits to our human love. And Paul says, even while we were weak, and we continue to be weak, God's love exceeds anything we could imagine. How difficult is it for a person to die for someone else? You may die for a loved one. I'd take a bullet for any of my children, my wife, my daughters-in-law, but you better believe I'd step up quickly for those two little granddaughters. But that's family. Who would die for someone else? Especially someone that slapped you in the face so often or turned their back on you. And yet, Paul says, even in that, God gave and Christ died for us. Christ's death was not in order to appease the wrath of an angry God. Rather, what Christ did, God the Father was doing through Him for us. It was God's choice. Our redemption, our peace, our assurances are not contingent solely upon our actions, but are contingent on God's action in and through Jesus. And that's the great message of promising peace. Even when things are difficult, we can find peace that God is with us, that others may stand with us and help us as the hands, the voices, the shoulders upon which we might lean that God places in our path. And in and through Christ, this message is always before us. This message is always with us. And as long as we develop that relationship and remember it daily, even when the sufferings come, that message is within us. But we must be available to God daily. And when we are, the peace of God which passes, or should I say surpasses, all of our understanding will be ours through Christ. And in that, no matter what comes, we will find access and hope and peace promised by God, even in our world. May we pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank You for Your promises and for the fact that You always keep those promises, though they may be in a different timing than we would hope. Remind us, when we become flustered and frustrated, when we become scared and anxious, when we look around us and wonder what can happen next, that in our relationship with You through Jesus, we might find growth and peace and hope because of our access to You and Your grace. And help us to share that message. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is 747. God has promised us peace, and He has promised that even when the clouds come, we can, inside of ourselves, find sunshine for our souls. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open. Hymn number 747, Sunshine in My Soul.